deal of throat clearing going on there. That was joyful singing, wasn't it? Le Mystère des Voix Bulgares, ending this week's World Roots. It was presented by Lucy Duran and the producer was Roger Short. Just to say there's no World Roots next week. The programme returns in 2 weeks' time at the earlier time of 9:45, so there's a date for your diary. World Roots back on October the 23rd at 9:45 p.m. Full details, as ever, on the Radio 3 website.
This week on Radio 3, live in concert.
Monday.
Early music from York.
Tuesday.
Claudio Abbado conducts Mozart and Bruckner. And there are three great 20th century works for piano and orchestra.
Wednesday.
By Rachmaninoff.
Thursday.
Ravel.
Friday.
And George Gershwin. Radio 3 live in concert. Each evening, this and every week on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's a little after 11:30. Time now to join Julian Joseph for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup.
The vibraphone of legend Gary Burton, taken from his new album Common Ground. He talks to Kevin Legendre a little later. And this sound... the big band sound of Stan Kenton, and Jazz Lineup will be staging another special concert in Manchester to commemorate his centenary. More on that later too. New releases as well, so let's begin with the official launch last week of Julian Siegel's second solo album, Urban Theme Park. The album is full of energy and made up of mostly original material. Tenor man Siegel chooses his bandmates well. Their interaction, interplay and intensity shines on this album, and the opening track is no exception, set up nicely from the bass line played by Ollie Hayhurst in unison with the piano played by Liam Noble. Together with both Siegel and Gene Calderazzo on drums, the band takes us on a journey. This is 6-4. Thank you. Tenor sax man Julian Siegel with his energetic quartet letting rip on 6-4 from the new album Urban Theme Park. Liam Noble was on piano, Ollie Hayhurst bass, and Gene Calderaza was on the drums. And rest assured, the guys bring their all to every track. Their imaginative reinterpretation of Cedar Walton's Fantasy in D particularly stands out. The band experiment with form, time signatures, interludes, and it all adds an extra dimension for ensemble development and soloing. It's a real enjoyable listen. From the best of the British scene to a jazz fusion superband featuring pianist Billy Childs, with Nathan East on bass, Tom Scott on alto saxophone, Steve Gadd on drums, and the superb George Duke on electric piano. The album is called Jazz for Japan and was created in response to the devastation caused by the tsunami and subsequent nuclear disaster in Japan. The album also includes Marcus Miller, Lee Ritenour, Christian McBride, and Peter Erskine, with a few Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter tunes in the mix. But it's Nat Adderley's work song we're going to hear. Nat Adderley's Work Song with Billy Charles on piano, Nathan East bass, Tom Scott alto saxophone, Steve Gadd on drums, and George Duke on electric piano. What a band, huh? If you like fusion in the 70s, that would tick all your boxes. Featured on Jazz for Japan in tribute to and remembrance of those that perished in the tsunami and Japan's recovery. When the producers of the film West Side Story heard a sampling of what the Stan Kenton Orchestra had done to their score, they were disappointed they had not thought to ask the band to play on the soundtrack. Johnny Richards' arrangements of 10 melodies from the famous musical are dramatic and tender, retaining the poignancy and relevance displayed by the characters in the story. Jazz Lineup present the augmented BBC Big Band, conducted by Jigs Wiggum, a former Kenton band member, on Tuesday the 18th of October at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester. As well as the West Side Story Suite, we will be celebrating Kenton's centenary with arrangements by Bill Holman and Bill Russo. I'll be there to present the concert, and on this occasion, the band will be augmented by French horns and set out in the Kenton classic V format, with the rhythm section forming the spine of the band down the middle. That's the 18th of October, Tuesday, at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, for the BBC Big Band, conducted by Jigs Wiggum, celebrating Stan Kenton and including the band's arrangement of West Side Story. Full details are on our website, bbc.co.uk/radio3, and navigate to Jazz and then Jazz Lineup. So here, from the West Side Story Suite, arranged by Johnny Richards, is Cool.
Thank you.
Big band maestro Stan Kenton and his version of Cool from Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story. From Kenton's 1961 album celebrating the music from the classic musical, with featured solos from Gabe Baltazar on alto, Sam Donahue on tenor, Conti Candoli on trumpet, and Stan Kenton himself on the piano. And the arrangements are by Johnny Richards. This is Jazz Lineup online, on FM, and on DAB Digital Radio with me, Julian Joseph. When Gary Burton was in town to promote his new CD, Common Ground, Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre met up with him to talk about the project. We hear that conversation after hearing the track Late Night Sunrise.
That was Late Night Sunrise by the new Gary Burton Quartet from the album Common Ground on Mac Avenue Records. And I'm joined by Gary Burton. Welcome to Jazz Lineup, Gary.
Thank you.
So this album, I believe, unveils a new group, the first one that you've had in a number of years, maybe 5 or 6
years? Yes, that's right. I used to always have a band nonstop for about 30 years. And then I started taking periods of time off from band leading, and I would devote time to special projects. And in fact, the last few years, I've been mostly doing new projects and touring with Chick Corea, one of my longtime collaborations.
Is that the Crystal Silence?
Yeah, next year will be our 40th year playing together. So I've been spending a lot of time with Chick's music recently. And then it seemed like it was a time to, you know, put a new band together for a while, and decided to call on this wonderful guitarist who's the new hot thing. Julian Lage is his name. He's from California. And we used to play together when he was in high school, when he was younger. I've known him for about 10 years now. But he's been away to college, graduated, and started his own band and making his own records now. But I called him up and to see if he would be interested in doing some touring and all that. And he said, absolutely. So that was the beginning of putting the group together. Antonio Sanchez is one of the most in-demand drummers around. Plays with a lot of groups. Pat Metheny's group, when they play regularly. And I'd done several tours with Antonio, love playing with him. So I called him, and he was available. And I always do this. I hire the drummer first, and then I ask the drummer which bass player they're most comfortable playing with at the moment.
That's a very smart move. And so you avoid any potential conflict between the drummer and the bass player to begin with.
Sometimes you can call a great player of each instrument, and then they don't play well together.
Yeah.
But I always pick the drummer first and then say, you know, who do you think would be the right fit for this particular band? And he recommended Scott Colley, who I knew and also greatly respected. So that made it an easy choice. And we did our first tour last year, and it was going so well, I decided that we should record when the tour came to an end. And now the record is out, and we're touring again for the rest of this year, actually.
So you've been leading your own bands for the best part of 4 decades, I think. It goes right back to 1967.
1967 was my debut as a band leader. And that was also, I was reminiscing last night at Ronnie Scott's, that was the first time I played at Ronnie Scott's club was in 1967, 44 years ago.
And you just recently played at Ronnie's, so things have
exactly.
come full circle.
So I, you know, it was the memories were still pretty vivid. That opening night, the BBC was having a jazz festival that week, so all kinds of people were coming in. When I went out to play the first set, there was Sarah Vaughan, Count Basie, and Jerry Mulligan sitting in the audience, you know, and there's my new little group that no one had heard of yet. And
did that inspire you, or did it make you feel very nervous?
Well, I don't really get nervous. When something like that comes along, it makes me feel excited, keyed up. You know, it feels like this is extra important. But I've never suffered from nerves or stage fright or that sort of thing. And I think that comes from starting out as a child performer. If you play in front of audiences when you're 7 and 8 years old, it's long before you even have time to think about how you should feel. So you miss that whole stage fright experience.
You don't question what you're doing.
You know, and I've noticed that's true with all the musicians I know who got an early start. They always say, stage fright, don't know anything about
it. Do you see that in Julian Lage? Because he was, what, 12 or 13?
Yeah, he was 13 when I first saw him on a television show, and he was already, you know, going out doing little gigs with local groups in near San Francisco where he was growing up. He's, fearless, in fact, as a performer, so natural on stage and so comfortable. And it really comes across to the audience as well. The people are just mesmerized watching him play.
This new album is called Common Ground. Is that because the whole question of empathy and chemistry and understanding between musicians is just as, if not more important than their ability?
Yes. When you put a band together of highly professional people, you will at the very least get a band of very highly professional people that play well together, don't make mistakes, and everything is fine.
That doesn't necessarily mean the music's going
right.
to be great, though, does
but
it?
You don't necessarily get this chemistry that can happen, and you always hope it will. Even changing one member can sometimes, you know, make all the difference. But in this case, when I started the group, it was just to do some playing. I booked a schedule of tour dates, and I said, well, now let's find out, you know, how we play together. And, of course, I knew Julian's playing well and Antonio's well, but not in this combination. But within the first week, our first week was at the Blue Note Club in New York. By the end of the week, I knew we had something that was clicking. And as the touring progressed, became deeper and more consistent. And so by the time we were nearing the end of that first tour, I knew I wanted to record the group. And I was looking for a title for the record. All the guys in the band had written music and contributed to it, which also helps with the chemistry of things. And Antonio had yet to name one of his songs. And we finished the recording date, and I knew I was going to have to turn over all the information to the record company soon, because they would need to start preparing the cover and liner information and so on. So I said, okay, Antonio, now's the time. You know, give this song a name. And he thought for a second and said, Common Ground. And took me about two more seconds to realize that it was the perfect title for the record, because that's exactly what it felt like, that the four of us had really found a common ground with the chemistry of our playing.
Gary, you've just been touring. You've toured Europe a lot this summer. Mm-hmm. What do you have coming up in the future?
The next tour, after a short break, is to Japan. And then we have another break, and we tour the U.S. for about 6 weeks, and starting in September. So that takes us up until almost November, and then I'm taking a big break to catch my breath and start working on some other projects. Chick, Korea, and I we're finishing a record of our duet music that will be out in January, so we have to get that wrapped up and get ready. My next touring, actually, for next year will be once again with Chick. We tour some every year, a month or two, and that's how I start next year. March and April we'll be back over in Europe and probably in London as well.
Great. So lots to look forward to. Anyway, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Etude from Gary Burton's album Common Ground, out now on the Mac Avenue record label. He was talking to Kevin Legendre. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. You might like to know that on Monday the 24th of October, Jazz Lineup present clarinetist Ken Poplawski with the rhythm section of the BBC Big Band at the Vortex. That's at 8:30 p.m. on Monday the 24th of October. Robin Asplund's on piano, Sam Burgess is on the bass, and Tom Gordon is on the drums, and we look forward to seeing you there. When he's not running Clown's Pocket Recording Studio, performing with Sax Appeal or Jules Holland, saxophonist Derek Nash is releasing Joyriding, his new album on the Jazz Is It label he runs with vocalist Trudy Kerr. The new album has Dave Newton on piano, Jeff Gascoigne on the bass, and Sebastian de Crom kicks off the next track with a familiar New Orleans rhythm on drums. This is Voodoo Rex. Voodoo Rex, a New Orleans-inspired composition from Derek Nash on alto saxophone. Joining him in the horn section were Martin Shaw on trumpet and Winston Rollins on the trombone, with support from the fine rhythm section of Dave Newton, Jeff Gascoigne and Sebastian de Crom. The album is called Joyriding and is full of the upbeat qualities we just heard and that the title indicates. Let's end with a taste of next week's program, when Jackie Dankworth will be talking to me about her latest album, It Happens Quietly. It's a classy and heartfelt collaborative work with her late father, the great Sir John Dankworth. We heard her performing last week with her mum, Dame Cleo Lane. Jazz on 3 on Monday night is a special program from Warsaw, exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. Well, till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye, as I leave you with, accompanied by Brother Alec on bass, Malcolm Edmonston on piano, and a full orchestra, Jackie Dankworth singing My Foolish Heart.
The night is like a lovely tune. Beware my foolish heart. The ever constant moon, take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this, for they both bring very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. Your lips are much too close to mine. Take care, my foolish heart. Then let the fire start, 'cause this time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love. It's love, my foolish heart. It's love. This time. Time is love, my foolish heart. Don't you know it's love this time? Don't you know it's love this time? Don't you know it's love? It's love this time. Don't you know it's love?
Time now for Through the Night on Radio 3. Good morning from me, Susan Sharp. Over the coming days, we're featuring some of the rising stars amongst the new generation of young performers. And this morning, it's the turn of Spanish oboist Ramón Ortega Quero to come under the spotlight. With harpsichordist Peter Koffler and cellist Luisa Buchberger, he's performing sonatas by some of the superstars of the 18th century, starting with Francesco Veracini. Veracini was notorious for being extravagant and eccentric, even by the standards expected of a virtuoso in those days, and that's strongly evident in his music too. This is his Sonata No. 9 in G minor.
Thank you. Thank you.